The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today on the program is Marie Keel. She was formerly with the Thumb Homeless Coalition, which she told me kind of disbanded after the Port Austin Air Base facility for the homeless people there disbanded. But they're working to get back together and get some get the word out and some advocacy for the homeless problem we have here in the Upper Thumb. And people may not realize, because it isn't quite as visible as in other places, that there are homeless people in Huron County, especially during these cold winter months. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Can you give us an idea? I was at a Huron County Commissioner's meeting, and the behavioral health people quoted a number that they knew of homeless, but they said this is far undercounted because that's only what they know of. How big of a problem do you people find who deal with homeless problems in the Thumb? What do we have here going?
Well, what's difficult, Craig, is that the people, of course, they move all the time. And so I get reports that there have been people living in behind Wilcox Park in those woods. Homeless people will go into barns. And, for example, I go to the Caseville United Methodist Church during Cheeseburger. You get some homeless during Cheeseburger. So one of the gentlemen that came in to the church during those 10 days, I play music and we have a prayer tent. So there was a little Indian guy, American Indian guy, and he was a homeless vet, he told us. And he was living in a car. So one of our ladies from the church, she told him about Fiddler's Green, was, you know, to get him help. And he come from different states. He says, oh, I got friends, and he moved around. They're transient.
Well, I think they move around because they don't want to, you know, be visible. They want to keep on the move because, you know, if you're around an area too long, people are going to start asking, you know, where's this person living? Because I don't see them going to a home.
Yeah, they're embarrassed.
They just came walking into a woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And what are some of the myths about homeless? Because, you know, we have this picture of, you know, big cities, New York, and they're living in a cardboard box on the curb or whatever. But the homeless problem isn't just one person having problems. It can involve families. It can involve, you know, a whole gambit of our society.
Yes, I believe that is the problem, is that I think the average person thinks that they're all addicts, violent, drunks, and different things. Well, some of the homeless people that we saw up at the Port Austin facility was a grandmother with three children from Detroit. Little old grandmother with three children. So maybe her children, you know, may have had an addiction problem, and here was grandma homeless.
And, you know, they come up to our area because it's a whole lot safer than living in Detroit homeless.
Yes, and the first homeless man that I had met was a man who had been homeless for 6 years, and he was weird looking, and he had ink pens on his glasses, and he was visibly hear voices. And I was afraid of him, and a local, sweet local pastor, Stuart Justin, I'll just give the man credit.
Okay.
He picked the guy up on 53 because he'd be walking up and down, eating out of trash cans. Found out the man was a veteran, and I think he had quite an important position militarily. He was maybe an espionage, but anyway, he found his benefits. He got back benefits. The man bought a trailer and a car, and he's doing good, and he's been doing good, and that was 20 years ago.
There are success stories out there, but not enough of them.
Yes, there is. And a lot of people just don't know how to get help. I see the breakdown is from the home situation. So home scenarios, a lot of these kids who are homeless, a lot of the kids that get is caught up in human trafficking, homeless and that, it's from abuse. And like you say, now let's just give the example of this man at Carroll that just was killed. So this man... my cousin found him sleeping in businesses at night because she would clean at night. So midnight at night, he would pass out. And so come to find out, he was only 56 years old. He had been in a shelter at Lapeer for 14 months. And for whatever reason, his brother brought him up to Carroll Maybe he had friends here. I don't know why he didn't stay at the shelter. Brought him up here. Well, last week, I told her to tell the police. I said, well, Jeff Kramer works at the shelter in Sandusky. They will go pick him up if he wanted to. But he was run over by a car. And he was 56. And that's about all that the police basically knew about him was he was in that one shelter in Lapeer and left.
That makes it hard to do paperwork. It makes it hard to even when you're trying to find them a job. I mean, where do you put your address? Where do you put, references? And what have you been doing the last 6 months?
I mean,
all of this stuff is a hindrance to a hand up.
It is, and one of the local people I seen in the coffee shop. I was telling him about this man, getting killed in Carroll. He said, "Well, do you know several years ago?" There was a man living in our Huron County Courthouse during the day. He worked at Walmart at night, Craig. And he would sleep there, and one of the detectives found him in a stairway in the Huron County Courthouse. But, okay, say you get a job. Look what it costs, Craig, to go into a rental place. You have to have first and last month's rent and a security deposit.
And you got to activate utilities.
Look how much money you got to have just to even get a home once you come out.
Okay. Now, what type of facilities are available? I know you mentioned Fiddler's Green. It's for veterans.
It is. They have to pay, though. But yeah, they do have to pay.
But if they have space, but if they're in there, they should be getting their veterans' benefits.
They do,
too,
or they help them. Yeah, they help them get their benefits.
So they have something to meet those obligations. But that's in Huron County, that's pretty much about it now. Isn't it?
Jeff was looking around. See, when we closed the Port Austin, when we closed that shelter, and my background is I've been working with that place for 20 years. When Lori Babcock, the realtor, when that place came for sale, so this was over 20 years ago, she says, "Well, we got this place, and she said, that could be a homeless shelter. That's got all the dorms from the old air base at Port Austin." So she and I prayed over the place. We prayed, and it wasn't until 2005 that Norm Edwards and his wife came there, and so they had from 2005.
Because it isn't just the space.
They call it the Port Austin Bible Campus, but yeah, you have to have utilities. And
you've got to be registered with proper authorities and everything else. You have to know what type of information to have on hand if there's a problem. All these types of things.
And again, the whole bottom line that what we're fighting now, we can find empty houses. We can find places. There's empty businesses. There's been a lot of places. Jeff tried four different places in Huron County before they moved to Sandusky for us here. But you can't get the local people to want it in their neighborhood. I went to one of the township meetings south of here at one of those. So Jeff found two houses. His goal, this is long-term goal, is modeled after this Teen Challenge. This is an addiction program. It's Christian-based. We have a facility in Saginaw. So their cure rate for addicts is 85% because they help them change their heart to know that there's hope, that they're not hopeless, and help them get work and help them get free. That program, some of them need 16 months to dry out. So that's what we found. And some of the addicts I work with, they need a longer term to get. But the goal is Jeff, they have gardens to help them grow food, and then they're required for the residents to go in a shelter for Jeff's model and what they do. You are either going to be working on getting your education, help you get a GED, get a job once you can get functional again. But in the meantime, you're going to work and just have a garden, grow food. Do you see what I mean, Craig? Which is really, that's healing for a lot of people. To get their self-esteem back. If you get hopeless, it's hard to change.
Well, it's a cycle. It just keeps spinning on itself. I mean,
you see no hope.
You don't spot a way out, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
And, bad enough in the summer, but in the wintertime, you got to find a place where you can survive.
Well, that's what I found through the years. Also, of course, one of the stigmas, I've worked with Rescue Mission in Chattanooga, and the rescue missions in the cities, most of them are operated by Christians and have church. Well, they would require people, well, okay, you know, you want to sleep here, we want you to come to church, you know, hoping to help them change for the better, you know, and get out of their dysfunctional. And a lot, and I've seen people, they would rather sleep in the street. They didn't want to go to a church service. They would pick the streets for whatever reason.
Yeah, whatever reason, whether it's just so hopeless to them, they don't even.
But then you know,
the church isn't for me because I've been left out.
Yeah, or they've been hurt, or frankly, to tell you the truth, it's just some of their relatives were just not very nice Christians, and they didn't have a good experience with people who claim to be Christians. That's one of the big issues I think people have. I've had people even come up to me and tell me I was the first real Christian they ever met, because I worked in a state mental hospital, and we had that problem too. We had people with no place to go, Craig, and so ours was an acute care hospital. You had to be court committed. So they would go punch somebody so they could come in the winter and have a place to sleep, because they'd have a bed and get fed in a mental hospital.
And then that goes on your record too, making it harder to break the cycle.
Sure, sure. But there's a lot of people who've never had a chance, and that's what, you know, especially the young people. The young people, I feel like we ought to go all out, and so if their homes fell apart, to know that somebody cares.
A lot of what we hear around here, and I think this is the fallacy people have, is that most of it's couch surfing.
Some of it is, but you
go to a friend's, you go to a relative's until you wear out your welcome, and you go somewhere else, and you do this.
I know.
And the relatives say bye after a while because they don't see you helping yourself. You're just staying there and eating, and
yep, just using,
and that doesn't break the cycle.
No, and it won't, and you just run out of places. I've seen that a lot, and in Florida, I saw there's a lot of course homeless people, you know, in Florida that way, and so we were playing music in this church because I'm a musician, you know, we just play music all the time. So one of the music jams, we always had food. So this homeless guy would come into that church while we were singing. So one of the guys from that church, he offered him a job. Well, he didn't want a job, you know. He said, no, I don't want a job. So they just, you know, they packed him up and gave him a bunch of food, sent him on his way. And so, yeah, we have to motivate people. And some, they've got to learn a skill somehow, to teach skills. And that's what they're doing at the Sandusky Shelter, that they're doing there in helping people. And you see changes. It's just like these people, you hear their stories of what some of these people at Teen Challenge has come out of. You just can't believe. Some of them, I mean, lost their kids, lost everything, streets, drug addiction for 5-10 years. But when they come in that program and get dried out and come to Jesus Christ, then they got hope. And then they're beautiful people. They speak up here at the churches around here. And once you've come out of that, then they will help others. Once you've come out and you've got your life changed, you think, oh, you know, if I can be helped, anybody can be.
So it's a problem. It's not just big cities. And
it's not going away. Right. It's not going
to
go away.
So what can people do to help? I mean, you know, everybody says, yeah, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where do you start? We have the Homeless Coalition that's trying to be revamped. But, you know.
Well, you can put my number for a contact to start with. And I would say, I would thank the local churches. And I'll just say this.
So you should get in with your church and say that.
Talk to your pastor, talk to your councils, your deacon board, and just say, you know, we can get workers. And that's what, when we spoke at that Forest Township, you know, I spoke and I said, I've got a background. I worked in mental hospitals. I worked with criminals before I came up here with drug addicts in Flint, grew up in Flint. And I said, we have volunteers that we will help these people. They don't, you know, they just need the answers. And I saw people change where I worked at New Paths. One of the guys I went to school with, he was a local dope pusher. And Craig kept saying, I can't be helped. I can't be forgiven. And I kept saying, anybody can be, yes, because God loves you that much. And after 5 years, he got his life straightened out, going to church, got his mother was an alcoholic, mama quit drinking, he got his job with the railroad back. And his life turned around because I said, Terry, there's hope for you.
It sounds like helping someone can be a bit of an intense thing. So if a church is going to do that, do they need to just, you know, find a person and make that project? We'll help them. And then when we see how this works, maybe we can help another along the way and keep it going. Is it more one-on-one that has to make it work than
I think
than a
so.
Big communal, you know?
I think so. It's like that. Project. It's like that guy come a cheeseburger. You know, pleasant guy, real smart guy. And what we lacked, everybody had so much fun with him because he was a limbo champ. This man was that was his renown, and he was even on Facebook with his limbo skills. So he would come in the church, sing the gospel songs with me. And so, you know, like I said, a lady from our church told him about Fiddler's Green and told him about that. I would say start with the churches, and I think the churches, most of them have like a benevolent fund to start raising money. And it's to talk to people, to remove the stigma that there are people who just need help. And once we get a place, that's what we've got to have. And you have to have township approval. And that township that turned us down, believe it or not, now get this, because my husband's worked in the farming industry and we know the farmers. So after the township supervisor, his daughter had come out of alcoholism because a Christian program helped his daughter get set free of drinking. And he wanted it so bad, but he couldn't get the vote. And after they turned down Jeff, who, like I said, he found house, you know, found, you know, a few acres there. Well, anyway, friend of ours bought some farmland down there. They had homeless people living in the barn that they bought this farm. Here's homeless living in the barn. So yes, they're out there. So we gotta start actually doing something. But that's what I believe. And we'll get our coalition going again. There's another group local here. I'm gonna make connections with them, and they're called the Homeless Solutions, and they're on Facebook. And they've been helping people, like you say, one-on-one.
But people have to know about it. People have to know this is who you contact. They have resources or know of resources.
Yes.
That can help. And there's not a lot to go around, so...
There's not. You can give them my phone number, and we'll get a coalition going because they're here, and you never know. And I'll just say this. A couple of times, I had a brief experience being homeless. So for that reason, I have a burden, and it's just a strange feeling, you know, to be homeless.
That's like the core of your life.
It is. That's the whole foundation. And it's like then you feel like you're stripped of your identity and your worth as a person. You feel like, I must be worthless, and it's not always their fault. A lot of factors involved there.
And when we're talking about this, we're talking about people who have virtually nothing. I mean, there's a lot of people who think the homeless are these kids who stay until they're 35 before they move out of the house because they can't afford a home. The homeless are the people who are out on their own and have no place to go. Mm-hmm. That's the real homeless problem.
Yes, and I would say, let's face it, let's just get our government officials involved. Let's talk about it at the city councils. Let's talk to our legislators. Let's call Legislator Green.
Well, I was talking to you prior to the show today, and we have this thing coming up called the census.
Yep.
And they're supposed to count everybody.
You're right.
And if you have homeless population in your area, if they're not counted, you're not going to get as much funding as areas that can demonstrate. So it's important
to try to get, to try to find out
where they're at so they can send somebody to at least, you know, count them so we have resources here to help people.
That's important, and I think so, too. I think if those of us that come across, say, a homeless person, we should contact the Census Bureau. I know a few months ago, the Census Bureau sent the churches all letters trying to get people to work it. I worked it one time.
You had to knock on people's door and say, I'm the census.
I know. And I chuckle with that because especially some of the farmers, they do ask a lot of personal questions.
Well, they've kind of trimmed it down a lot now. The big questionnaire, I think only about 1 in 10 or 15 get the big one, and the other ones have a shorter one. But we need to have all the numbers counted. If we have, you know, 100 in the county, that's going to get us more funding than if we count 16. And and they're going to say, well, it's not as big a problem here. We'll send the money to some place that can demonstrate it. And,
yeah.
And that's what the census is about.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's a good point. And contact our county commissioners. I think we need to start going speaking.
Okay. So you mentioned people should start this in their church. We have like resource directories and stuff. Is there a place they can go? 211 is a number that people call when they need information. Would that be a place to start for you know, what's available for homeless people to do it?
Maybe, or I would suggest to Jeff at the Sanilac Rescue Mission. They're doing it.
They're doing it.
The Sanilac County, and that sheriff is just a great supporter of that. And then they've had theirs is like in town, and then somebody gave them a few acres on the edge of town, so they got means to expand
or do a crop and help support the place by not having to go to the store and buy the food. They can grow some.
That's right. And then and get work. And let's face it, idle hands is the devil's workshop. My grandma always said that's a lot of these kids, a lot of their trouble is they're bored and they get in trouble and they're not doing anything.
Well, and I would imagine, you know, even if you're trying, hygiene's a problem. You have no place to shower. You don't have toothpaste. You don't have all this stuff. You go in to get a job.
That's true, to get a job interview.
And they're like, whoa.
That's why I feel like it's the people in the churches as Christians. We're coming across these people. Just like I said, that example was that man that walked in our church at Cheeseburger. And so we offered him help, and, you know, he did go out, and I think he did go out to Figler's Green and visit, but I think maybe he didn't want to stay in Michigan because he would float around.
Well, I mean, again, you don't want to make that a lifestyle.
Right.
You want to make it, you know, somebody has a home, they have friends, they have, you know, roots. Something we all like to have is some roots.
Right. It's a breakdown of the family, and that's what I feel, just like what we've done, too. I mean, we've taken kids in since I've been here. Dan and I have been married 31 years, and we took a kid in for a while, so a lot of people just need a few weeks or a few months of stability and to help them find some answers where they can actually think, you know.
Is it difficult for the layperson just to determine, you know, who wants to? It's like getting out of the situation.
Yeah.
You have to want it.
Yes, you, motivation.
You can't just do this for a person and expect it to go. It's something they have to want and want to work for. And you might not have the skills to recognize who is one of the people who will make it and who is just trying to use you for a little while to get free food and a warm bed.
Yep. Well, Jeff Kramer down there, like I said, at the Sanilac, it's Sanilac Rescue Mission down there in Sandusky.
Are they on the web? Can you just search Sanilac Rescue
yep.
Mission and you'll pop it up?
Yep,
and
they're on
numbers.
Facebook. Yeah.
You can get phone numbers
and they have and they give like programs and then you know, ideas to help people and classes in that, because a lot of people, like I said, their goal when you bring them in there, they are either going to be working on getting their GED. Or I've even helped, I was a homeschooler also, I've helped people get diplomas, you know, who thought that I had a neighbor, for example, he thought he was stupid and that he couldn't learn because his dad always told him he was stupid and he dropped out of school. And so I helped him study. I gave him some of my homeschool books, helped him study, and he took the GED. Do you know that young man was ending up helping teach at the skills center in the computer class? And I thought, I mean, he didn't look very smart. But he just needed a chance to get his education. Simple. Didn't cost me nothing. I handed him a homeschool book. I said, you can read, can't you? He said, yeah. See?
But again, they want it.
Yep.
That's the key.
Well, if they don't, then a lot of them, they're going to be floating around till they get tired.
Because there are some people you can try, but you just can't help. But there's many out there who do want to break the cycle.
That's right.
And those are the people that, you know, you just wish they could find what's going to work.
Yep. And then that's what Jeff does when you know, go in there and, you know, they'll evaluate the people and then just see what their problems are, you know, why they are. Everybody's so different.
And, you know, you've talked about, you know, how they live with, you know, eating out of the dumpster and stuff. I don't think people realize that people are actually doing this in our area.
Well, they throw away a lot of food, too. I mean, people tell me that.
Well, it's expiration date. You can't use it again if it's been on the table. These types of... But they're designed to keep you healthy inside.
Right.
And they're outside eating what's being let go because it's no longer considered healthy. That's not a good thing either.
Right. Or like the homeless... We met some homeless at our church in Florida, and this couple... They were selling newspapers, and they lived in a tent. Well, somebody stole their tent, Craig. And I've known people in Michigan that did that, live in tents in the woods. Yeah, how do you lock your tent? I mean, it's very unstable.
And you can't break it down every time you want to go somewhere.
No, no.
And then they're starting with even less after that.
Mm-hmm.
At least they had something to keep the rain off.
But you know, when people come out of that, then they are so energized to help others. Just like I was a single mother. I've been on welfare. The welfare mentality is so defeating. And I know what that's like. But when you see somebody break free of that maybe, you know, that's all they ever knew. I've known people in Michigan that were four generations welfare. In fact, my kids took in a boy from their church, for example. And my son-in-law, he has handicaps from farm injuries, but he's never collected disability or nothing. Well, this kid, this 16-year-old kid, he thought everybody just got a check. He thought, well, don't you all get a government check? They said, no, we work. And they taught that kid that everybody doesn't get a check, because that's all he ever knew.
And then when it comes time that he's on his own, he has nothing.
Well, he stole from him a lot, you know, and like I said, they tried to help him, and, you know, like, in other words, there's some people like that, you know, you keep contact with, you know, you forgive them and everything, but there's just people, you just can't throw money at them, Craig. That doesn't do any good.
Do you need to do if you're bringing someone into your home or whatever like you do, do you need to run a background check?
Yes. You just can't take anybody in your home, no.
And you don't even know if you're getting their real name.
Oh, no, I know. Well, the ones that we've taken in, we knew the family.
You know,
but let me share.
This isn't something though to take lightly. You know, oh, I'm going to help.
Oh yeah, I know.
You need to know who's coming in, and there may be problems in past history that, you know, needs attention before they're good to be in a home.
Oh yeah, get professionally evaluated in that. And we got a little great niece in Detroit, and she told her, like 7 years old, she saw the homeless in Detroit hungry, so she told her mom. She says, well, I want to give those people food for Christmas. She says, you know, they're out there hungry, 7-year-old kid. So they went and bought some McDonald's restaurant coupons, and she passed them out to people. Little simple things. That's just, but isn't that precious?
But that solution is for one day.
It is, right, it's for one day.
That's the old, give a man a fish, teach him to fish thing. That, you know, tomorrow you're still hungry. It's like all the efforts that go in on Thanksgiving to, you know, for shelters and such, you know, for a Thanksgiving meal. They have to eat 364 other days of the year,
mm-hmm.
And it isn't all that good.
Well, what is the hindrance is the township approval. So that's where it comes. I think if we get enough community support, and if the citizens of this county, instead of shoving these people under the rug, you know, would... Let's go to the county commissioners and say, we want a shelter here. Because without that approval, you know, Jeff's had people give money. I had a sweet lady from our church, Craig, when she heard about them when they were at Port Austin. This woman gave us a check for $300 a month. She had a good job. She had Social Security. So there are people here willing to give the money, but without the township approval. We've got to get the local people to do it. That's where it starts. Then we can get a place. God will provide a place. For example, I was working for a nursing home in Pigeon. So there's two houses that was nursing homes. They just closed and it's for sale. So here's two empty houses with 10 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms. So there it is. But have to get local approval. Jeff would rather be out of town, like I say, have a few acres too.
See senior citizens in there as not a big a problem as
right
full able-bodied adults who, have nowhere to go for the 8 hours normally you'd work.
Right, and that was the problem that they had at Port Austin, and you've been aware of through the years, and that was hard for the locals because some of the
And you were separated from the town quite a bit. I mean, the air base was secured with.
No, but they'd walk into town, though. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, it isn't
right.
It's next door. It's in the facility was out by itself in a large area that they had known to be secure from the military for so many years, so they assumed there was still some security around. But it's a difficult situation because, again, people have the idea that, these people are just, they don't want the help, they just want to be left alone, and it's part of us,
and
too,
some do,
to ignore problems, and
right,
and
because
the other
they're
way.
Here.
It's easier to look the other way than it is to try to help.
Well, 20 years ago,
everybody can't do what you do.
No, everybody's
not
programmed for that.
But you can do something. You can, even if it's just helping to, when we have a place that they can go to and supplying goods once in a while or something to help them cut down on their expenses. All these little things can help. It also shows the community wants to help them. That's an essential part of it too.
Mm-hmm. And it's also too, like Chuck Rondo does a great job in the jail. He helps these people. And many of them come to the faith, and they come to faith in Christ. And when they come out, though, you've got to get people willing to give them a chance. And so Chuck's had trouble with churches accepting the people who come out of the jail, things like that. And you know what I'm saying? It's and every person's different, but we got to.
Some people have been burned.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have too.
I understand that too. I mean, you fool me once, don't fool me twice. They've tried to help someone and it didn't work. And
money isn't good. And a lot of good, well-meaning people, it's just.
And they're not going to start off making a huge living wage. It's going to be tough at first. And like you say, to get a place, to get utilities.
But like that local pastor, see, that's what he did. He took that man out for coffee.
Well, if people want to do so.
If they want to help us revive this coalition, give me a call.
989-975-2465.
That's it.
989-975-2465. Marie Keel. She'll help you, maybe you can get involved in the getting the Thumb Homeless Coalition going again. Maybe you know people that she can try and get some help for. Anything you can do to help people, especially this time of year when it's snowy and cold outside and you're just waiting to get into your warm house and your hot chocolate and so many out there you don't even realize don't have any of that.
That's right.
Thanks for coming in today. I hope we spurred some people to do things and hopefully maybe get some churches active in trying to help people. Again, one at a time. You don't have to solve the whole problem.
That's right.
You sometimes it's just one at a time. And
when you help that person, once they get help, then they want to help others. So you see, it the movement grows.
And maybe you've got a church member for life. That's, a lot of the churches are finding their congregations dwindling. You may be able to spur help that way too.
Mm-hmm.
What goes around comes around. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Craig.
Our guest today has been Marie Keel. Again, if you want to get in touch with her, if you know someone who's homeless and needs help, or you want to help the homeless, you can give her a call, 989-975-2465, 989-975-2465. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.